And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hear that podcast growling, made and angry. Hear that co-host shouting, it's Dander and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast. Growlin' Paul Dander Jr. here with you. And, you know, we're in the middle of our off-season specialty show series. And we're just kind of going through talking to people that we enjoy having conversations with and that are maybe a little bit off the normal that we do, but still fun. It's shows for us, kind of, you know, and I think you will enjoy. And this is one that I know you'll enjoy because you have enjoyed him. I hear from people all the time, whenever we've had this guy on our shows before, that, you know, whether it's about something he said or something you drank, or just the general optimism he brings, it's optimistic Bobby time. That's right. Owner of 50 West Brewing Company, Bobby Slattery, is today's guest. And to be honest, so I hope you listened last week. We had comedian and Cincy Shirts owner Josh Sneed on, and it was a fantastic conversation. I love talking to him about Mitch Hedberg's stories and you know, his journey in comedy and creating shirts for the Bengals and Joe Burrow and Reds. And it was just a great conversation. I enjoy it. Originally, I thought I'd have Josh and Bobby kind of on as together, but they were both so good in their own different way. We split them up into two different episodes. So you may hear some conversation of talk about the episode with Josh in here, but that's because originally we thought they'd go together, but they're just both were too good that they needed their own. They needed to stand on their own. I always love talking to Bobby about not just his love of the Bengals, and obviously we get into a lot of Bengals talk from a fan perspective here, from the optimistic fan perspective, as we always do, but also about, you know, sort of the business that he's in and being in Cincinnati and what it's been like to be a part of that, everything that's going on at 50 West, which is just insane, how they've sort of become this sprawling campus out there. It's been fun to watch, and it's just always fun to talk to. So without further ado, we will bring you this week's episode. This is my conversation with owner of 50 West Brewing Company, Bobby Slattery, better known as Optimistic Bobby.
All right, you know, I'm always excited about this moment. You know, we're kind of taking today's episode to catch up with the state of the fan a little bit. And that's, we're kind of using it through some local business owners. And you know, we have Josh Sneed, came on and talked a little Bengals with us, which was very exciting, but you know, we can't do this type of an episode if we don't go where we always go. And that's going to our guy, Optimistic Bobby Slattery out at 50 West, to come on and give us all the optimism that we need to hear from Bengals fans. How are we doing, Bobby?
Hootay! It's a good time to be me right now, right?
Yes. I mean, it is the season of the optimistic fan. I mean, you
right?
Have you noticed the growing number of people on your bandwagon as you continue
every
driving
day
the bus?
Yes. I mean, the last couple of years were real difficult. But I think this year you're getting the frustrated fan that likes to kind of, this is the part where people start jumping back on the bandwagon. So they're starting to look, and there's all these good little, you know, you've got Burrow coming along. You've got, you know, I thought coming out of the draft, a lot of debate in the draft, right? Like a lot of thought coming out of that. Oh, are we going to screw this up? Did we do it wrong? I kind of felt like we were in a win-win situation no matter where we went. Yeah. So now all these people are coming back and everybody's sort of just watching, waiting to see what happens, waiting to either be extremely angry and lose their mind or waiting to be like, oh, I knew it. This is so great. So
the problem with the optimism and excitement that has built over the course of this offseason is it only makes a more emotional blend.
Yes.
When the season actually starts, like that's, you know, and you're just, it's just, it's really going to be a lot of emotions tied up in that first, like, you know, 6 weeks.
Get ready for some extreme overreactions within the first 4 weeks.
Is there any other, I mean, I've never experienced anything else other than extreme overreaction.
I guess that's par for the course, but I think with the whole debate over, you know, do you go wide receiver versus offensive line? How does that play out?
The first hit that Burrow takes.
Oh my God. Oh boy.
I mean, I think fans' expectations are that he will have a clean jersey 17 straight weeks, untouched, unpressured. You know, I mean, not that that's a real expectation, but I mean, I think in their head, like, I'm not prepared to watch this man take a hit.
Yes. Yes. It's great. It's, you know what? It's what being a fan's about. I always talk about the hope thing. Hope is there right now, right? It's just like this little ball of energy that's just sitting there and it's building and it's building. And I think people are buying into it. They see it. And you know, it's all going to come down to, you know, can we score a lot of touchdowns and can Burrow not be killed? And do we win games? At the end of the day, if you win games, it makes this thing whole thing a lot easier. A lot easier to be on my team when you're winning games, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Well, you guys, in a little bit, I want to talk about the a million things that you guys have going on out at 50 West. It's just incredible. And not just out at 50 West here, Chillicothe is open.
Southeast Ohio. We're headed Burrow's way.
That's it. It's not going to be too long. I mean, have you talked? Is there a way that you could like build your next branch of 50 West like on his street, his parents' street?
I went to his house, you know, when I was out there, tried to. I told you we stole the Burrow sign I had in my front yard in Cincy. But yes, no, I think I've kept my distance fairly well from Burrow, which was probably a good thing because it would be, I'd probably be a little bit too excited to see him. He might be weirded out by a 40-year-old man. Actually, he's probably used to it. This is probably his life, right?
Well, I mean, this is the person who openly admitted to stalking Sam Hubbard's Instagram at one point.
This isn't
exactly outside of the realm.
As a safety in high school, yes, 100%. It's all good. This is such an exciting time. It's an exciting season. I love what they did with the draft. And now it's just going to be, you know, how does that play out and what happens? I do think, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them to win. And I think they got to at least go 8-8 this year. Otherwise there's going to be some significant changes.
Yeah. They got to be, I think they've got to be.
Eight, nine. Who knows? I'm not used to talking about the 17 game season.
It's throwing me off. I'm not used to like, how do you judge a team that goes 5-12? Like, I don't. These numbers are going to be very hard. But I mean, I think, you know, you've got to look at it through the lens of relevant in December and seeing the next step. I mean, so much of this team is already tied up for multiple years. I mean, we talk a lot about Higgins, Boyd, Chase, Burrow, Mixon, and this like how fun that is. Well, those guys are all under contract for at least the next 3 years. So, yeah. They're going to grow together is the idea. And you can keep putting more pieces in on the line in front of them. So if you get to relevant in December, if you are in that 500 range this year, it's a natural next step. Not that they couldn't do better than that if things went really well, but it's a natural next. And the same thing with the defense. Defense is mostly under contract for multiple years.
Defensive line, I was talking to someone the other day. I think defensive line will probably be the like key. Everyone wants to talk about keeping Burrow from getting hit or whatnot, but like they got to generate a pass rush at some point to be able to, you know, do something.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Low-key, under the radar, most important player on the team is Larry Ogunjobi, because they desperately missed the interior pass rush last year. It was just an absolute non-factor, and it killed the entire defense almost from the center spot. What Geno Atkins dominated for years, the fact they got nothing out of that spot killed them, and now they're betting on Ogunjobi being a breakout guy on his one-year contract here. They need to get a lot from him because they don't necessarily have a ton of interior pass rushers besides him. So if he can come out and have a really big year, I think he could be the low key difference makers. If you're looking to, impress some people sitting around 50 West talking Bengals, make sure you drop the Ogunjobi on him.
You saw it. Well, when we were at our best, we could generate pass rush without sending a blitz. And you saw the last few years, not very good. And that was one of the big things that stuck out, was like, hey, the pass rush is gone. Like, these quarterbacks can sit back there without us, you know, unless we send people and then we get burned over the top or whatever. So, but it's all good.
Yeah. The biggest question is this, is where is your son at with excitement level? Like, to go.
Dude, I don't know. So here's the deal. His birthday is the opening game.
Yeah.
So that's literally his birthday. I don't know where he is. He's in that weird stage as a kid where it's like,
How old is he now?
I'm going to think about this. He's 8. He's okay. Soon to be 9. Okay. So he's in like fair weather fan range, right? Oh. Like right now he told me he's rooting for the Clippers because he likes the Lakers. And I was like, what are you talking about? That doesn't even make sense. Like, you can't, like, we're talking about NBA, and that's, he's like, yeah, I'm rooting for the Clippers to win it, cause, you know, I like the Lakers, so I should like the Clippers. I'm like, I think it's the opposite. Like, no, like that. So he's trying to figure out the whole fandom thing. And I don't know. I think with NFL, he had a real issue with Burrow for a while because he was an Ohio State fan and he wanted them to win the national championship, which, by the way, I'm not an OSU guy. He just like randomly picked it up because his cousins liked it. And so, but he's okay with Burrow now. I think this is gonna be a big season for him. I think a lot of it depends on how well we do, right? Like, because if you're going into school, you probably remember this when we were kids, when we were going into school, and I'll never forget, like, the icky shuffle was like posted on the window, like, here's how you do the icky shuffle, because we were winning football games, going to the Super Bowl right at that critical moment in our life. So I'm hoping, you know, if this team's good this year, that could really play a big part in his lifelong commitment to being a fan, and he'll end up like his dad someday.
I was gonna say, you know, I always talk about when you're between 10 and 12, you are never more formed by your love of sports. More like it dictates. Yes. That is the years where you just like develop this like absurd obsession, and you try to recreate that for the rest of your life. That, like, where, you know, you watch every game, you know every stat, you know every player. It's like, it's totally foundational. And so really, whether he's a Bengals fan is going to be dependent on, he's coming into the window. He's entering the window.
It's right now. And it's a good time to be in the window, right? Like, I think that if I had to pick time to be in the window, this is a team. If it all falls right, like it's going to be better than the last 2 years, right? Like it can't be, if it's worse, they got to blow it up, but I think they've got the pieces. Having Burrow as a quarterback, I mean, I remember when Palmer was making that turn and I was like, oh my God, we're going to have like 10 years of this. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And we didn't end up getting 10. We got what, like 6, 5.
Yeah. And some of them weren't super.
Yeah. But
there was still the thought that was going to happen.
I was like, oh my God, we're going to get this. We got the guy. So I think Burrow's the guy. I think that's great. I like what they're doing. And overall, just talking to fellow fans, I think you've got a lot of people that are assuming Burrow doesn't get killed. They're going to be excited about it. They're going to be excited about this year, and they're going to be excited about all the things that are happening.
There's a whole lot of people holding an "I told you so" in their back pocket, though, if he gets hurt or something.
Oh,
or
God, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the decider. I'll ask you this, though. What is the – can you gauge reaction, not just for you, but when you hear about new uniforms? Was that accepted? Did we like the new uniforms? Do we –
Okay, so I think new uniforms is a really tough one because it's like, you know, I think they're easy to criticize. I think overall the new uniforms were well received. If I think about the most critical people that I'm around that want to find every reason to hate the Bengals, you know, they're upset because we don't have the dome, or they're upset, you know, like they just pick everything. I think even those fans were excited about the new unis. I think they look good. I think they're clean. They pay homage to the, you know, stayed consistent. I'm excited about it. I haven't bought one yet. I've got to get to you. Actually, good question. Do you have a jersey?
Do I have a jersey?
Do you have Bengals jerseys?
No, I don't have any of the new.
Does Bengals anybody jerseys. Like in your field, do they wear, does no. anybody wear jerseys?
Nobody. No. Wear. I mean, not to work. No.
No. Like how hilarious would that be?
I mean, you know
what? I think that should be your stick this year is you should start wearing jerseys.
Like random, like
while you're doing,
you know,
while you're doing the interviews,
you like should, a soccer you jersey, wear, or like, am I yeah. wearing, like, I'm no, wearing no, no, a player's no, the jersey. Bengals,
wear the player's jersey.
Okay. You're going to get fired.
That's the worst
idea. I would be more likely to get fired than anything for that.
Is that, does that put you in jeopardy? You're not
allowed.
You
not, have. It's no, that's not. That's
it's not part of the thing.
No. I'm trying to think the equivalent, for your business, I would probably be like, don't you just sit there and just get drunk with everybody that comes into 50 West.
There are people that do that. That's not how I operate, but yes, that happens in my line of work a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we've probably talked this before, but like, why do baseball managers wear a uniform? Isn't that like the most ridiculous one? Like,
well, I do like that NBA finally got it figured out and they stopped wearing the, like, you know, the suit and tie, the coaches in the NBA. They're now in the polo gear and like, it's just, or the, you know, the sweatsuit and stuff. And like that should have been the case. Baseball needs to be next. Baseball needs to come in.
Why does the umpire have to wear, I don't know, well, not the umpire, why does the coach of baseball have to wear a uniform? Well, remember when Jack Del Rio wore the, I don't remember if it was Adidas or Nike or Reebok. Do you remember that? Thursday night football forever ago, he wore a suit. And the rule was it had to be the apparel, and he got it made by him. It was pretty slick. I thought it was slick.
This is all very good Bengals talk. Do you have your optimistic prediction for this season then? So are you saying?
I'm still struggling with the 17 games because I can't make sense of it. I mean, my heart, okay. I'm going to say 9-8. Is that right? Is that 17 games? Yes.
9-8 is correct if you want to do that.
Okay. So this should be – if this is the 9-8 season, things are going to be really good for my son George Slattery in the next 4 years, right? Like this is the season where they're supposed to, like, they're going to show up, they're going to play, they're going to win some, they're going to lose some. If they go 9-8, I don't know if that makes the playoffs. I have no idea what makes the playoffs in a 17 game season, but the 9-8 would be just off the top of my head. That would be this year. The following year would be the, like, okay, now we're contending and we're excited about it, probably with like a letdown loss in, you know, one of the, hopefully that next year would be like, we win the playoff game. And then after that, it's like, hey, we're in Super Bowl contention mode. Kind of like where Cleveland is. I mean, you just watch Cleveland over the last couple of years. And I hate it. Cause I just don't think Baker's their guy. I keep hoping that OBJ is going to be like, create that problem for them, that like, they really should just hand the football off all the time and win on defense. But they're doing that, right? Like that last year was like the year where they had that game and they're like, okay. And then this is the year where they're like, hey, Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're like a season or two behind where they are trajectory wise.
Yeah,
so right. I would like to see a 9-8 this year. And then, you know, we go from that. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the pass rush. Like that's probably going to be one of our biggest issues is like, if we don't, what differentiates us will likely be that pass rush coming on. And then, you know, next year we have to get the guy that rushes the passer and then it takes us to the next
9-8. That's a little on the low end for Optimistic Bobby, I must say.
I know in my old age, I'm a realist. I think you just don't go.
Since we first started doing these, how long ago? 6-7 years ago. I can't even remember how long. Every year was the year. You're saying you've matured since those days.
I mean, I know the trajectory. This all started because you were like, look, the way you talk about this is so absurd. You have to come on and talk about this to other people because we're discussing this at the brewery and this is just something that other people should hear. I think you have to be realistic and say, 9-8 is the right trajectory for us. Now, is there always that glimmer of hope that maybe we take a bigger step? But for the most part, I think 9-8 season would be good for everybody. I think it ends up, I think we end up in a good spot if we're there. I think Zach Taylor keeps his job.
And that way, if things go sideways early, you can always say, look, we got plenty of time to get to 9-8 where we need to be. You know, you can.
Hey, I want your take on this because I actually something that I did not like was the Zach Taylor calling it early on the practices. But then I read your article about it and you said it's like a good thing, right?
Yeah, it was mostly about making sure they got their vaccination number to where they needed it to be so they could be fully in person and everything come the season. So that was basically the deal. Like if enough people went and got vaccinated, they could get them close to the 85% threshold. They need to be fully doing everything like normal come training camp. Then he would call up the last 2 days, and basically that was the case. I mean, they got it. And so that was the biggest point of doing it. And I mean, like, look, from somebody who goes to these things and has been for a long time, you don't realize how little is actually getting done at these practices. Like these are, while it's nice and it's totally important, the chemistry element and the like everybody going in the same direction and being out there together talking through stuff is really what it is. They'd already done 10 of them. They were the only team in the league with full attendance. So they were ahead, I think, of the vast majority of the league when they called it quits and still are. Like most of the league didn't have but maybe even half, three quarters of their players there, distractions with holdouts and this, that, and the other. And it was like they were the one team that had buy-in the entire time. So they were kind of in a little bit of a place where they could do it. I just don't know. They were only – the third day was already going to be like just a walkthrough of special team stuff anyway. So you really are talking about 90 minutes – of light work was what was sacrificed for essentially being able to do all your meetings in person, all your weight room stuff, all of that stuff come training camp. And it looks like they'll probably get there. We'll see. They're not there yet, but they're close according to, I guess Jesse Bates told us that, but
I'm a Zach Taylor guy. And that was the first time I'm like, whoa, why are they canceling? And then I read you through your thing and I was like, okay, All right, I can buy into this. I get it.
Yeah, I thought they did, you know, getting what they did as far as attendance and buy-in was a big deal. Because, you know, everybody, it's funny, like, I'm so close to it that I don't know. That's why I like talking to you and to Josh. And, like, when I talk to fans, I like talking to fans when I'm out there to get the what I'm seeing, not seeing because I'm too close to it, but like people that still think, oh man, I just thought it was like that everybody hated it there and it was toxic culture and this, that, and the other. And then, but when you get 100% attendance for an off-season program, when the league is basically begging people not to show up and everybody's like, that is there is so excited. It's the opposite of that. So for that reason, I thought the off-season was a huge win for Zach Taylor and for the team as a whole going forward in the right direction, because, you know, they have there's no anybody that didn't want to be there would have had every excuse in the world to not show and no one would have cared. So the fact that they had everybody there doing what they were doing was a big deal.
Does it feel good? Do you feel
I don't know. It always kind of feels good this time of year, Bobby. Like I have a hard time getting super excited over stuff. It's like, when we get into training camp and real decisions start getting made and people start really getting after it, we can talk about the feel. And I don't have a feel. We're not in the locker room. Like, we're not in it. So it's hard to really get a feel for things.
When the teams were good, when the teams were good, did it feel good?
Yeah, you knew it. Like, you always, when the teams were good, you knew they were going to be good because they'd been good for a while. I mean, you know, unless you were talking about 2011 when they came out of nowhere, you knew 12, 13, 14, 15. You knew those teams were going to be good. They had dudes everywhere. They were stacked. They were drafting for future. Like, they were drafting out of luxury. Like,
but you're saying there wasn't
what, like, this team has been.
No. Well, I didn't know if there's just like a chemistry, which is like, hey, look, it just looks good and it feels good down here.
I mean, the Reds have that, right? So like, people talk about the Reds now and the chemistry they have going. I think it looks good and it feels good down there because, God, the way they talk about Burrow, I mean, the dude just walking on water at this point. Like,
yeah,
everybody believes everything that he's about and makes them have like love what this place can be. It's all anybody talks about, offense, defense. Yeah, this guy can lead us there. Like, everybody is a believer in him. That alone means, yeah, it feels good. Like, it feels good down there because people feel that way about their leader. They have a real, real leader. Like, they have not had that, I mean, since Witt left. And so, like, and you know, feeling good about a team because of your left tackle is different than feeling good about a team because of your quarterback. So, you know, I think that there's excitement because they feel like they have a real leader that can take them there. But it's a big, you know, it's a big year for him too. So,
well, I think as a general fan, just dealing with, you know, I get a lot of people that want to buy in. I get haters on the other side. Overall, I think people feel pretty good. It's tough to challenge Joe. Like, using this, nobody talks about whether Burrow's going to be good or bad. Everybody, whether you like the team, don't like the team, everybody's in agreement that he's going to be good. The question is like, is he still going to be standing at the end of the season?
Right.
Like, that's what they question.
Yeah. So how to build around him. Absolutely. Yeah. I just want to talk about the sprawling campus. That is like, at what point do we need like golf carts to go from one side to the other, or like, can you install a monorail next?
I don't know. The bridge over Highway 50 is the ultimate dream, but yeah,
you guys have a Fleet Feet now.
Yeah. We opened up a shoes. I want it. Yeah. Frank Julius, who owns Fleet Feet. Great dude. He was coming down, we were running our own running groups, and him and I connected, and he was like, dude, we should put one of our stores in here. Like, so he got one, he bought a Volkswagen bus. You go in there, there's shoes on display out of this VW bus. And it's, it's going to open up this week, which is fantastic. Fantastic time. And thank you for calling me right now, by the way. But yeah, so that store is going to open up on Wednesday. So you'll be able to, you know, we'll have our running groups and all those things going on. And now we'll have the ability to, you know, you can buy apparel for running and whatnot. And whether you're coming into 50 West or just coming off the trail, it's available. So the big thing, though, I'm going to say this, we've done a lot of things over the last few years, but I painted the roof. So we repainted what was Production Works. I've been wanting to do this for like, I don't know, my whole life, honestly. My grandpa owned a bunch of Howard Johnson restaurants in upstate New York. Like, that's how the family, you know, that was their source of income. And so it was always my dream to have my own orange roof restaurant one time.
Yeah.
And so we painted the roof over at Production Works, which for most of you, probably you drive by, it doesn't mean anything. For me, it's like, it's just like a dream come true to finally own my own space with an orange roof on it. And so the space, it's now all painted the same color, which sounds stupid and probably means nothing to you guys driving by. But we've had a fantastic last, you know, couple years figuring out COVID. Anybody that's listening, that if you come out here and supported us, I can't thank you enough. It's really just been an insane journey. But yeah, so you know, that's going on, and you know, the brewery out in Chillicothe is cranking right away, and we create a lot of good opportunities out there. And you know, we're kind of looking at what the next thing we do is. I'm not really sure what that's going to be, but it's kind of how we think. So
it's clearly how you think. There's always a next thing that's still happening while the other next things are in the works. It's like, you know, you're just like professional jugglers, which I'm sure you'll have actual jugglers out there before too long too.
Maybe, I don't know. I always say to people that work in our company, like, it's my job to create opportunities for you. So if we stop growing, then that kind of stagnates everybody, right? And everybody wants that, you know, wants that, like we talk about with sports and that idea of hope of, you know, hey, what's my next step? Where can I get? And my goal, I feel like within the organization is to create those opportunities. So, you know, the minute we stop doing stuff is sort of the minute that I have to, you know, that next step for my people becomes somewhere else, which I'm okay with if they want to take it. But if I can create that, you know, so that's what kind of drives me on a day-to-day basis. So.
I mean, you created the, you know, you have the burger bar out there and like the root beer stand feel.
Yeah.
And it's the full word you've got the floats and the shakes and like the little diner over there, which is awesome. Which, by the way, I'm Team Illinois Burger.
Oh, that's very
the horseradish aioli, man. That's like
I go. I'm in that camp as well. I would say that I think that's number 7 out of the 13 styles.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I think there's a lot of one like not regularly ordered styles that are some of the better ones. And I think Illinois would fall underneath that. So
yeah, that's my go-to. I'm out there. Loved the ice skating was huge. The kids loved the ice skating. The first time my daughter ever ice skated was on your ice skating rink out there. And she was a big fan.
Fun fact, my son doesn't know how to ice skate. And it's like this issue. He's like, his buddies know how to ice skate. There's like a ice skating thing that a bunch of people in our community all belong to, and we don't belong to it. And so he's always discouraged. And then we open up the ice skating rink, and I think it's like, it's become like a psychological thing because they're like, oh, your dad has this ice skating rink, but you don't know how to skate. So I got to teach George how to ice skate next year. I feel like I'm not doing them any. It's not
well, good. It's cool. And you guys are doing cornhole leagues now, which, you know, that's got me pretty.
What's going on with your cornhole?
I can't talk about it right now. The tournament needs, we did the winter one, and it was the last thing that happened right before the pandemic. And we're hoping to get back into it this summer to get us back on track because, you know, we're closing in on 20 years. Like, you know, it's going to be a big one. We have a 20 year anniversary of the Danner Cornhole Classic. So
let me ask you this. Could we go big with it? Could we open it up to the fans, do it down at 50 West and really blow it out? Or would that ruin the intimacy of the friendship?
Look, maybe, I think for the 20th anniversary, if we were going to do a special one, I mean, I this feels like we may have hatched something here. I mean, when we
didn't discuss this before this, I think we go big and we do it. You know, 20 years, reach out to the fans out there and say,
hey. I am absolutely on board. But we did well because we did it at – we actually did the winter one at an indoor place. So, I mean, we've gone outside of the realm of the yards and the houses. So we've gone off site before. We can do it again.
Go real big. We get behind it at 50 West. We'd love it.
And bring the fans in. I got to tell you my idea, though. My idea that I've had for a long time, and I'm going to just go ahead and spill it right here, is – I think that a collaboration with the Bengals on a cornhole tournament at Paul Brown Stadium where the players and staff are involved, like when the Reds used to do the poker and you get the player's jersey if you knocked them out or whatever, where they're all involved as a massive fundraiser for like Children's Hospital and stuff would be like the perfect thing to do over the summer sometime. Use the stadium, people get to go, and that way if it rains you're on the concourse, like you have to worry about weather, you can just like, and you have some players and team former players involved. It's a way to kind of interact, raise a bunch of money.
Why haven't you done it?
It's just been living in my brain for a while. It's just a big
let's do it.
I got a lot going on.
We can do this. We'll help.
I know I'm talking to the right person because when I talk to you, ideas become orange roofs. And
there's no idea. If you can think of it, you can do it. It's figuring out the logistics from that. You just got to get the Bengals on board. Who do we talk to with the Bengals?
Well, hopefully they're listening to this and maybe we'll get it out into the ether where it needs to be. Spark the next big idea.
I'm down.
And if anybody's listening to this and thinks they could help with this idea or has an idea about this idea, you know to hit me up, pdaner@theathletic.com, and we'll try it. Maybe we'll get this thing off the road. This will be the spark. This always happens when I talk to you. We get the ideas start going. Next thing you know,
I'm down with this. I know
we got something big popping off.
It's all we need. We need cornhole boards. The hardest part of that is to get the Bengals to buy in. And
yeah,
you know, maybe
the stadium, but for a good cause.
Maybe you do the interviews in the jerseys, and they'd be more willing to jump on board.
That's the key. If I exactly. ask them while wearing like a Sam Hubbard jersey or something, that would be the difference.
Yes.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Sam Hubbard Moeller jersey.
That might be a little bit. It's still a little since he's on the team. It's a little weird, but like at least
have you seen that one? Have you seen that one at the stadium yet? I don't know if I've seen that one.
I have not. I'm sure people have
worn it. Cook Sporting Goods should be selling those things down there. That would be.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you pretty much need to be related to Sam to have one of his Moeller jerseys. I don't know.
I've seen Stranger Things, right? Like that's like the college jerseys of their favorite players or the Pro Bowl jersey. That's always a weird one. The Rob Lowe NFL hat.
High schools just can't be making coin though off their players. They don't have the NIL yet. They don't have the name, image, likeness moving like college will. They need that.
All right. Well, hey, maybe we tie, Big Mo into your cornhole tournament.
They would need to be. I love it all. Well, if there's anybody that can help us pull it off, it's you guys. If anybody hasn't been out to 50 West and seen the sprawl of fun and activity that happens out there, plus obviously delicious beers, because we talk about it all the time. Please get out there. If you're listening and you're listening in Southwest Ohio or Columbus area or wherever, head down to the Chillicothe spot, which is right down there in downtown Chillicothe, right?
Yeah, right in the middle of downtown. We just put a big old sign up there. Just get on Route 50 and drive. And you will hit it. Or you can eat at the burger bar and take a right and drive like 80 miles and you'll hit the other one. Yeah. You can't miss it.
That's it. It's perfect. And try the Illinois. I'm telling you.
I like the pump in Illinois.
Bobby, congrats on everything that's been going on down there. It's great to catch up with you as always. And we'll be tracking your optimistic prediction. And hey, we'll see. Maybe they'll even surpass your expectations.
9-8. That's what I'm on right now. All right.
Talk to you later, everybody.
All right. Hooday.